In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears, real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
AT&T Connects and Ode to Podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Moments like seeing my son's team cheer him on mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
But all right, y'all. All across the USC, Compton, Watts, Bay to LA, Pomona, California, from valley to valley, we represent that killer county. So if you're keeping it real on your side of your town, you tune in to Gangsta Chronicles.
Gangsta Chronicles, we gon' tell you how it goes.
If I lie, my nose will grow like Pinocchio. We gon' tell you the truth and nothing but the truth.
Gangsta Chronicles, this is not your average show.
You're now tuned into the real MCA, Big James, and Big Stale.
This is strictly from the streets.
Hello.
We represent the streets.
Welcome to the Gangsta Chronicles podcast, a production of iHeartRadio and Black Effect Podcast Network. Make sure you download the iHeart app and subscribe to the Gangsta Chronicles. For my Apple users, hit the purple mic on your front screen, subscribe to the Gangsta Chronicles, and leave a 5-star rating and comment.
Yeah, you know what to do. Another episode of the Gangsta Chronicles. And you got your boy Big 8 in the building. I'm with the homie.
Big Steel in the house. Man, you know what? We got a lot of shit to touch on today, man. I want to start off with this Oscar shit, man. Got a lot to talk about today, actually. There's a lot of stuff that's been pissing me off, man. How they made the homegirl, Angela Bassett, just look like she was the biggest hater in the world for her being upset about losing.
I didn't watch the Oscars and shit. I don't think I ever watched the motherfucking Oscars, man, to be honest. I mean, I watch a good movie and shit, but it's just like the Grammys and shit. I've never been a big fan of the award shows and shit, even down to the shit like BET Awards and shit. I'm just not an award show dude. And that's not because I don't win shit, so let's get it straight. You know what I'm saying? It's not because of that. I'm not what people, you know, call the hater nowadays. I don't give a fuck if you win or lose or whatever this shit is. It's good for, you know, people's careers and give them that extra status or whatever. But, you know, I'm a nigga from Compton, born and raised. And, you know, I like to deal with facts about shit. So, you know, that's the facts. You know what it is. I mean, shout out to Kendrick. Again, TDE, you know, for the work with Good Kid, Mad City. You know, I was on a song, got nominated for a Grammy, you know, but other than that, you know.
Did you go to the celebration? Did you go to the award show?
I went. Just for the experience of.
That was some fly shit.
It was a bit much, you know. Having to do all the shit lining up to it. So would I go again? No. Like I said, and before that, I'd never, watched the Grammys or the Oscar shit. So as far as with Angela Bassett is concerned, why it was brought up that she was looking like she was hating. I don't know. They caught her expression or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah,
I think
motherfuckers be really reaching though, dog. It's like, you know, she could have had gas for all we know. She just not been feeling like being at that motherfucker. She could have been like, this some bullshit. They knew I wasn't going to win this motherfucker. And you got me sitting up in here looking crazy.
I mean, but I don't know. Like you just said, she probably knew. I ain't finna win this shit.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, when you're in that position that, you know, Ms. Bassett is in, you know, you have to put on that face, you know, and you have to appear and show up because you're nominated and, you know, and people want to pump it up like, you know, oh, yeah, you got a chance or whatever. And so I guess it was, I don't know, would it be a shock to anyone? That you know, and I guess us as black people felt like, you know, they got to give it to her because of the role she played and what she represented, you know. But, man, come on, man. Y'all know how this world works. I mean, if you dumb to that shit, man, I mean, if you just as, you know, if you as mature as I am and you've been here for a while, man, you know how this game works. It's never changed. So
yeah, for real, you know. And then next thing I want to talk about, man, is our homeboy Charleston White. Motherfuckers is hot at Charleston right now. They mad in the motherfucker. Now, I heard his tirade like everybody else did, right? Charleston, man, you know, me and Charleston got history together. Charleston, man, you know, Digital Soapbox was one of the first people, man, to, you know, recognize his talents, man, because he do have a lot of talent. He's a funny-ass dude. And there's a lot of truth to the shit he say, whether motherfuckers want to acknowledge that part of it or not. He tells the truth about a lot of shit. Now, you know, with all the other stuff, man, you know, he's being sarcastic about a lot of stuff. And a lot of people, you know, the internet, whatever come out of motherfuckers' mouth, they just believe it to be fact. He just really be fucking with a whole bunch of people, right? I don't think my man got no intentions on doing nothing wrong, but I see Charleston going in on black people all the fucking time, right? He goes in on black people all the time. He goes in on rappers. Charleston don't spare a motherfucker, right? But it ain't no problem as long as he's sticking to fucking with niggas, right? But the minute he said something about them people, they called and had his show canceled and all kind of shit. Where was the cancellations at when he was talking about all them niggas? Now, not that I want the homie shows to get canceled or nothing, but I just thought it was ironic, you know? I thought it was some shit about it. You ain't got no comment about that, huh? Look,
I don't know Charleston. I mean, what, we had him on the show. It seemed like when we had him on the show, his approach was different.
He's a very intelligent motherfucker, dog.
Yeah, but I don't, and like I said, I don't have nothing to say about, because people do what they got to do. You feel me? That's the way the world works. If you get a hustle, motherfucker, you gotta jump on that hustle. But sometimes, you know, where I come from and what I have seen and whatever, as far as it been from the streets or business or dealing with people, different races or whatever, I'm not one to want to get ahead by controversy. I've never been that dude, you know. I guess I'm a low key motherfucker, and I have never starved for success to where I want to live my life in jeopardy to achieve success. Mm-hmm. I get in where I fit in. You get me? That's the way it is. And some people, you know, now with the internet being so motherfucking popular and social motherfucking media, and everybody wanna, you know, tune in, and you know, the latest controversy is the best and all that type of shit. Motherfuckers feed off of that shit. You know what I'm saying? To want to live like that, you know what I'm saying? And always want to have a say so in people's shit. Mm-hmm. To each his own. You know what I'm saying? Feel that works for him. Charleston feel that works for him.
You know what though, dog? One thing I will say is that, fortunately, in this country, we do have freedom of speech.
Exactly.
People can say whatever the fuck they
want
to say.
You can say what the fuck you want to.
People can say whatever they want, and it ain't up to me, you, or nobody else to impede that, because that's our right. That's
and the
right
problem with that is, just like you can say what you want to, but you can't control another motherfucker's actions either.
Yeah, exactly.
So now it's, like you said, a slippery slope, because everybody's not going to look at your antics as entertainment, or, you know, oh, this nigga just talking or whatever, whatever. Some people take shit very seriously, you know what I'm saying? And thus, you might be putting your life in danger. And when you ready to walk that route for a dollar sign, man, it's crazy to me.
I guess that nigga, he down for whatever, though, because one thing about it, anybody that ran up on him don't been dealt with, and he don't mind popping at a motherfucker, so... I guess, you know, like you said,
you can scream self-defense, you know what I'm saying? If I could talk shit to you on the internet all day and social media and fuck you this and fuck you that and this and that, and then I'm going to tell you where I'm going to be at, you get me? And the minute you approach, 911 is being dialed, you get me? Or if I feel in danger for my life because somebody done pulled up, then, you know, I'm going to pop at a nigga and claim self-defense, you know?
Exactly.
Which my nigga do a lot. You know what I'm saying? He has no problem with calling the police or calling the authorities or putting motherfuckers on blast for their antics. So, and that's the way he has built his. That's the way he has built his status. You feel me?
Yeah, he's definitely built his cachet.
And then again, you know, like you said, we can speak on niggas. Or we can speak on each other like it ain't shit. You feel me? We do it in records. We do it in when all kind of beefs jump off. We fight each other. We blast at each other. We do all of that. But you already know when you take a trip to that other side dealing with other races, whether who may it be, they finna come down hard. You feel me?
Oh, man.
They don't play that shit.
They go definitely. And one thing about it, though, man, me knowing them cats, man, they are always kind of prepared for any smoke that come their way. You feel what I'm saying? Like that's the life they chose to live, and they living it. More power to them. You know what I mean? More power to them. You know, before we go into the subject of our show, because we are going to talk about, you know, a rapper that ate some motherfuckers.
Yeah. I wanna speak on the Oscar shit just one more time with Angela, and because I was seeing a lot of comments still about the situation of how that went down. Did you watch? You watched Wakanda, right? I watched the new Black Panther, right?
I watched it. Thought it was a great movie.
Have you watched the movie with the movie that won Best Picture and the movie with Jamie Lee Curtis?
Honestly, I had never heard of it until the Oscars came up.
I never heard of it, man. I watched it last night. Mm-hmm. My take on it, and then did you hear that Tom and James Cameron didn't show up to the big, you know, they have some big ass party or some shit, mm-hmm. right? So they say them two didn't show up because they knew they wasn't going to win. The other movie was going to win Best Picture. So I watched the shit. It was different. It wasn't what you would take. Brian, did you see it? No. You didn't see it? So it's got the kid. You seen Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yes,
I mean, not Raiders of the Lost Ark. Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones, yeah.
So you remember the little Chinese kid from the Indiana Jones movies?
Yeah.
He's playing the older dude. He's older now. He's in the movie. Okay? About this, I don't know if they're, I guess they're Chinese. About a Chinese lady, her husband, they run in a laundromat. Mm-hmm. And it's a comedy. It's a comedy adventure type of shit.
She looked boring in a motherfucker to me.
I honestly paused it about five times. And I watch movies. You get me? I paused it five times because I kept losing interest in it. You get me? I'm watching the shit and it's some multiverse dimensional shit and different universe, some shit you would think you would see in a superhero movie.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to check it out.
You have to check it out. I mean,
I'm gonna have to check it out before I put my
and then I guess
on it.
What people saying about Angela Bassett, Angela plays a lot of strong roles in movies, right?
Yeah, she does.
She plays a lot of strong, black female roles, mm-hmm. whether she's the assistant to the president, whether she's Tina Turner, whether she's the Wakanda Prince, you know, queen, she plays those movies. You don't really see her, and I don't know, maybe that's what she demands, that, you know what I'm saying? I got to play those roles. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to them people and how they looking at it, you already doing what you already do.
Yeah, and I hate to scream racism, man, but when you living in a country, man, that's just with the history that the United States has, for always marginalizing us at any point that they can get, or always trying to make us look like we crazy. It's just like we talked about last week. They said the homie Sean Kemp did a drive-by, and really it was just a little small altercation.
Right.
Then you got the shit with the basketball player with him waving the gun and spending $50,000 in a strip club, which I don't know why people feel like that's their fucking business, and everybody is coming down on this kid, so... It seems like we are always judged more harshly than other people. They always moving the field goal post back on us.
Definitely. And look what, in the sense of when you watch, you know, Denzel always played great movies, you know, lead movies. But look what he had to do to win an Oscar.
Yeah, he had to
play a nigga from the street selling dope and crooked and all that shit.
Yeah, corrupt and stuff. Yeah, that's with all the great roles that he's had, all the great characters that he's portrayed. And when you got somebody like Denzel or Angela Bassett playing your part in your movie,
and not saying
a different element to it.
Yeah, not saying that it's a step down, but it's sort of like motherfucker, I want you to what? Disgrace yourself to a level. And then I'll go, fuck it, I'll give you a, you know, because look what Halle Berry had to do. to get a motherfucking Oscar.
She had to get a man. She had to get a man to pussy.
Like, motherfucker, we don't want you playing no strong black motherfucking queen and a motherfucking leader and a motherfucking female who was fucking battered and then came out of it and stood up. No. We want you to do some disgraceful shit or some funny dumb shit, and then maybe we'll consider it. So that's my take on it. You know what I'm saying? They felt like, not like, you know, no disrespect to the other actress, is, you know, Jamie Lee or whatever, but like, you know, like the Halloween lady, you feel me? Like, we know her from Michael Myers and shit. You know what I'm saying? So her role was kind of different, you know, but still, it's like, if you looked at her role and then you compared it to what Angela did, and like I said, when they feel like, you know, we don't want that represented or something, that's how I take it. I don't know if I took it as racial. I just took it like, motherfuckers want you to put yourself in a different position in that category. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
How do we level the playing field for all entrepreneurs? 55% of white businesses survive the startup phase, while only 4% of black businesses do the same. So I want every black entrepreneur to know about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have black ownership. This program gives black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training and extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 black businesses, helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because it was for us and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being black entrepreneurs. Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive offer at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk.
get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Moments like my daughter telling me a new joke mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that is spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
You know what, man? Do you think the music industry is the same with being pressured to make certain kind of music? Do you think, like, because I know when I was, when I had my deal, they wanted me to make a certain kind of music, and they wanted me to rap over all the Lil Jon shit. I actually went and met with Lil Jon, because, you know, people didn't know he was standing up in Hollywood at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I listened to some beats, and all I kept hearing was the dum 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 or dum 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 dum. It was the same thing, and I was like, man, we gonna pay $150,000 for that?
I think at one time, and if you're talking about our era still, I think at one time the majors started trying to influence what they wanted to, you know, fuck with. Because there was at a point in time where they was like, man, we ain't touching none of that street shit no more.
Oh, I remember that.
And so, because it happened to me, you know, the labels was like, I had signed a motherfucking production deal with Big Beat Atlantic, you know, to, you know, after I left Epic, you know, it was supposed to be a deal, production deal, like, three albums, and then I had two groups I was gonna bring over. Everything was good until they was like, oh, well, we don't wanna do that gangster shit no more.
They wanted you to rap over Timberland beats and shit like that, huh?
I mean, yeah, honestly, you know, we can get some Timberland beats, we can get some, you know, just, you know, not to, you know, that type of music that was turning at the point, you know. And I basically lost the deal because I refused to do shit like that. And then basically they didn't want to touch it. So it was either like you do this music or we don't want to do the deal. You get me? So I think at one point in time it was influenced to do certain type of music, especially if they felt it was going to be lucrative. Right now, motherfucker, you do what the fuck you want to do. Niggas do all kind of music, and if it could get over, it get over. You know, I don't think there's too many influences by labels now, because let's face it, a lot of niggas are their own labels, and yeah, they do what the fuck they want to do, and then the majors come along and go, hey, let me give you a distribution deal or some shit like that.
Yeah, I do think at one time, though, man, it went to be the opposite. You remember it was a brief period in the 90s to where it seemed like every label was coming out with a gangster rapper. Like it was just gangster rap. It was proliferated. With just everybody was a thug.
I mean, that's just like the movie companies. You see a movie come out, and then motherfucking 6-7 months later, you see a movie on the same, you know, subject. Labels was doing that shit. Motherfucker, oh, nigga, if you had you a Snoop Dogg, oh, yeah, we got to get us a Snoop Dogg. If you had you an MCA, oh, we gotta get us an MCA. If you know, that was the mad rush when music was going around like that. Motherfuckers had to get them an imitation of what was next. They don't give a fuck. That's how these labels do. These large companies, they gonna bite off the motherfucker. Burger King do a triple cheeseburger. I guarantee you, fucking 6 months later, McDonald's gonna come with the
with their form
of the triple cheeseburger with something else added. It's just what motherfuckers do.
Yeah, you know what's real interesting though, man? It was like there's this letter that's been going around. A lot of people, they kind of want to dispute the authenticity of this letter, but I believe it's very much to be real. I'm going to read it real quick. The secret meeting that changed rap music and destroyed a generation. Starts off with, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but after more than 20 years, I finally decided to tell the world what I witnessed in 1991, which was at the height of gangster rap, kind of, which I believe was one of the biggest turning points in popular music. And ultimately American society. I have struggled for a long time weighing the pros and cons of making this story public. As I was reluctant to implicate the individuals who were present that day, so I've simply decided to leave out names and all the details that may risk my personal well-being and that of those who were, like me, dragged into something they weren't ready for. Between the late 80s and early 90s, I was what you may call a decision maker with one of the more established companies in the music industry. I came from Europe in the early 80s and quickly established myself in the business. The industry was different back then. Since technology and media weren't accessible to people like they are today, the industry had more control over the public and had the means to influence them in any way it wanted. This may explain why in early 91 I was invited to attend a closed-door meeting with a small group of music business insiders to discuss rap music's new direction. Little did I know that we would be asked to participate in one of the most unethical and destructive business practices I've ever seen. The meeting was held at a private residence on the outskirts of Los Angeles. I remember about 25 to 30 people being there, most of them being familiar faces. Speaking to those I knew, we joked about the theme of the meeting, as many of us did not care for rap music and failed to see the purpose of being invited to a private gathering to discuss its future. Among the attendees was a small group of unfamiliar faces who stayed to themselves and made no attempt to socialize beyond their circle. Based on their behavior and formal appearances, they didn't seem to be in our industry. Our casual chatter was interrupted when we were asked to sign a confidentiality agreement preventing us from publicly discussing the information presented that day. Needless to say, this intrigued and in some cases disturbed many of us. The agreement was only a page long but very clear on the matter and consequences, which stated that violating the terms would result in job termination. We asked several people what this meeting was about and the reason for such secrecy, but couldn't find anyone who had answers for us. A few people refused to sign and walk out. No one stopped them. I was tempted to follow, but curiosity got the best of me. A man who was part of the unfamiliar group collected the agreements from us. Quickly after the meeting began, one of my industry colleagues, who shall remain nameless, thanked us for attending. He then gave the floor to a man who only introduced himself by his first name and gave no further details about his personal background. I think he was the owner of the residence, but it was never confirmed. He briefly praised all of us for our success we achieved in our industry and congratulated us for being selected as part of the small group of decision makers. At this point, I began to feel slightly uncomfortable at the strangeness of the gathering. The subject quickly changed as the speaker went on to tell us about the respective companies we represented had invested in a very profitable industry, which could become even more rewarding with our active involvement. He explained that the companies we worked for had invested millions into the building of privately owned prisons, and that our positions of influence in the music industry would actually impact the profitability of these investments. So, I'm not going to read, I'm going to try to fast forward something, you know? Basically, they had a meeting about rap music, right? Because they're saying that the, a lot of these companies have started investing in prisons. That's when they started making prisons private. Mm-hmm. Think about it. Everything from the phone calls, right, to the food that they eat in commissary is usually, what, five to sold at 10 times the normal rate? So do you think at one point that the music industry actually conspired to create more violent themes in music just to get motherfuckers crunk in the street, resulting in motherfuckers going to jail?
It just sounds like a piece to me, because niggas been violent. Niggas I don't assess that to, you know. So I mean, what are they saying? What is he actually saying? You're not naming no names. You're not saying nothing. We've been though, of course. A lot of motherfuckers invested in private prisons. That ain't no secret. That you're saying that dudes who worked for record labels were investing in prisons? I wouldn't doubt it. If you're a big corporate motherfucker, you got investments in all kind of shit.
But that would kind of give them kind of like a reason to kind of push a certain agenda.
Yeah, but that's only a certain amount of niggas. Everybody don't rap. You got normal niggas who go into prison who don't rap. So how could their agenda just be about, let's push rap music?
You know what? I don't think it's so much about the rappers going to jail necessarily, but rappers talking like certain shit.
I don't like when motherfuckers try to use rap and fall back on rap as some shit that, like, nah, man, because I'm an artist. So, nah, because I was fucking with Sony for years. Sony didn't do shit to influence me to go out and make motherfucking songs. If I had beef with a nigga, I wanted to make a song about him. Period. Mm-hmm. And in my days, they didn't condone this shit. They hated that shit. If I went on records talking about, nigga, I'm finna shoot this nigga or blast up a nigga or do shit. Sony would tell me in meetings, hey, man, can you go change that? Or can you do this or do that? They didn't want to promote that shit. Now, nowadays, it's different. It's different when I came up. Of course we had beefs, but my beefs that I had as far as whatever, it didn't stem from records. It stemmed from me gangbanging. That's what it stemmed from. I never had a nigga at a label go, oh, hey, can you make another song about Quick? Or can you do another? No. They would be like, you sure you want to put that on the record? So nowadays, man, and I could see a motherfucker writing a story like that from 1991 and now it's 2023. And because a gang of niggas is dying behind rap music, oh, we influenced that to build prisons. Nigga, shut the fuck up. Your motherfucking ass ain't influenced. Take your ass back to Europe and shut the fuck up.
You know what, man?
And niggas just got beefs. Niggas don't understand it. When you come from the street, it's a certain life that's lived. Mm-hmm. Period. Before I even thought about rapping, I was gangbanging. We had beef with them niggas. Do you think when I started rapping, them niggas across the street is going to be like, oh, he's a rapper now? Them niggas gonna go, he a rapper now. Bop, bop, bop. They don't give a fuck. That's where beefs come from. And if you lived like I grew up, and you grew up in Compton, you grew up in Brooklyn, you grew up in Bronx, you grew up in Watts, you grew up in Chicago, you grew up in Atlanta, niggas had street shit going on. Mm-hmm. And a lot of niggas who started music shit, they already had beef. Even if you didn't start the beef. Nigga, my hood had beef with these niggas for 30 years. You think because I started rapping now, it's gonna change? Nah. And ain't no motherfucker with no suit and tie influence me to go beef against a nigga. We been had beef. You can't influence me to go, oh man, can you rap about another? Can you make another song about Woopty Woop? No. They do it because it's lucrative now. You get me still? It's lucrative.
It makes a lot of fucking money.
It makes a lot. You think I'ma tell a motherfucker don't rap about a nigga when I know you gonna sell a million records, the beef is gonna be, and everybody gonna be taking sides, and it's gonna sell more motherfucking records.
For everybody.
You got a song talking about so-and-so? Nigga, we should release that as the first single.
It's just like, it's really just like the podcast shit right now. Because if I get to talking about Mr. Potato Head and them,
mm-hmm.
it's going to cause their views to go up. It's going to cause our, you know, man, our downloads to go up. But fuck all that shit.
Like I said, motherfucking, it's what they say nowadays. The content is what creates the motherfucking flow. So I ain't even got to have a fact. All I got to do is hear a story. That's and I'm going to run with now, that motherfucker.
But you know what? The funny, you know, coming back to Charleston White, That's what he said one day. Motherfuckers online believe anything, so I'm going to say any fucking thing.
It don't have to be true. I don't have to have a proven fact. I'll let y'all go deal with that. I'm just gonna be the first to put it out there or start it. Whether it's true or not, or whether it's factual, that's not my fucking job. My job is just to get it out there.
Yeah, yeah. Let me ask you this. Hey, you know, we got a lot of people, man, because hip hop has always been a multicultural thing. You know what I mean? It was actually, you know, suburban white America that blew gangsta rap up. You feel what I mean? They were the ones that wanted to hear them stories, right?
Right.
So when do you think people cross the line when they participants in our culture and they disrespect us? Do you think there's a certain line that motherfuckers should stay in check on?
As far as?
Just like, you know, being a part of black culture and, you know,
working. You talking about because we got a lot of white rappers now?
Not really necessarily white rappers, dog, because they just as much part of the culture as, you know, anybody else. They participants. I don't think the founding fathers of hip-hop envisioned this just going to be exclusively for us. You feel what I mean? Because there were, you know, black people, you know, you had Puerto Ricans that was breakdancing. You had some everybody that was participants early on. I know
in England. Yeah, but do the brothers look at the white people as our culture? Now you can look at the Puerto Ricans and the Mexicans, like you said, they was there with us from the beginning, breakdancing. What was the white people though when we was doing it?
They was fans mostly.
So it's hard to say that they was a part of culture. Ain't that what Melly trying to say?
Yeah, you know what, to a certain extent, but this is what I think though, man. I think if a motherfucker dope, he dope.
True.
If a motherfucker dope, he dope, but that means he's put time in on his craft to actually become accepted in this culture. You feel what I mean? Because at one point...
But do you... Answer this question. Like you just said, if he dope, he dope. But do you feel if he dope and a nigga is dope, he gonna get more shine
than a nigga? He's definitely gonna get more shine, because I'm gonna tell you
why. Is that fair?
There's
they both dope.
It's always a great white hope, right?
Right.
It could be two rappers in the room, both of them equal in skill, right? Both of them equal in skill. But the white boy that may be the rapper is almost like an anomaly. He's almost like finding a unicorn. Like, this motherfucker is cold. We finally found this one to compete against they Rakims and they Big Daddy Kings and all the other shit. Because when you think about it, and I'm a fan of Eminem.
Mm-hmm.
I like Eminem. I think Eminem is one of the greatest rappers of our generation. He just is. You know what I mean? He's a bad motherfucker, right? But when Eminem came, I've heard... When I was working for a music publishing company, one of the executive sons told me, he said that he feels Eminem took hip-hop to another level. And I looked at him and I said, you young disrespectful motherfucker, what about Public Enemy? What about all these other groups that paved the way for this person? I think Eminem would agree with me. You feel what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He just put him past everybody and said, no. And when I asked him about a Chuck D, he said, who the fuck is Chuck D but some washed up rapper? He said it just like that. And this is a kid that's from England.
It's unfortunate that we make this music and you have a motherfucker like that who will say some outlandish shit because he's just not a fan of Chuck D. Or, you know, he doesn't know the history of what rap went through and the foundation of what Public Enemy is trying to represent in Chuck D. So you might not be a fan of him. You get me? But what I say to people like that is sometimes you need to shut the fuck up with your opinion about the foundation of music and about certain rappers and, oh, he's some washed up motherfucker and shit like that. I mean, you should never fix your mouth to say shit like that. Because without a person like Chuck D, there would be no fucking Eminems. He had to be influenced by a motherfucker to be able to write that shit and be able to think that he could have a shot. And niggas like Chuck D and Melly Mel gave us that shit. They gave us the, you know, niggas didn't have no outs. If you was a nigga in the hood selling dope, everybody going to jail, you ain't finna go play no professional football or basketball. Nigga, you in the struggle. You selling drugs, whatever. They gave us an out to do something else. Did we speak about what we were going through as far as motherfucking struggles and motherfucking just growing up in the hood and having to go through what we was gonna go through anyway? Even if we wasn't rappers, you get me? We gonna go through some hard shit when you growing up in the ghetto until you find a fucking way out. So they gave us that. And I just don't like it, like, you know, and again, it's your opinion about who you like. Everybody has that right. But sometimes I say you need to watch what you say about motherfuckers who gave us the motherfucking bricks and cement to build the motherfucking house that rap stands on right now. You feel me?
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Moments like my daughter telling me a new joke mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that is spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Yeah, you know, and we just got a lot of crazy shit going on in hip-hop now, man. I see, you know, the Troy Ave cat done dropped the Attack Stone diss song after he testified in the murder trial.
Oh, that was quick. Or he had that ready, probably.
Probably so, dog. And I guess he figured he was going to get some motherfucking, he was going to get some looks off of it or whatever, you know what I mean? So I guess he decided to put out a rap song after dissing them. It's like this shit is getting out of control almost, man.
Look, back in our day still, rap music was good. We had our little shit, you feel me? We had our little scraps and square ends at the Jack the Rappers, and, you know, we had our little beasts, but for most part, you know, niggas was solid.
You know what? I remember the 1 year Jack the Rapper, man. You remember when Cuba first broke up from NWA?
Yeah.
And I was down there with Black, and my boy Black, he used to be a part of, my boy Black Henry used to be a part of the How Can I Be Down shit as far as putting it together and stuff like that. And you know, that's my big bro, DJ Bobcat's cousin. Shout out to my homeboy, DJ Bobcat, my big bro. So I had access to that shit. And I remember seeing, I ain't gonna say too much about it, but I remember seeing a former member of NWA kind of getting handled down there. So it used to go down when you ran across.
Oh no, it went, those were the places where, you know, all the labels was. And so if you was a hot rap artist or artist at the time, you showed up at the conventions and, you know, niggas had beef, it would go down. But then you also got a chance to, you know, mingle with some of your favorites and, you know, exchange numbers and, you know, ideas and, you know, hook up with niggas and create songs. And so, you know, like I said, we had it, you know, our days was vicious and rough. Our days was vicious and rough as far as, you know, our little encounters and shit. But today, man, it's just, it's wild, man.
It's crazy.
You know, it's wild. Like, you know, I know niggas get, you know, when you live this lifestyle and you representing the streets and shit, and, you know, you want to show motherfuckers that fuck some rap shit, nigga. I'm that real nigga. But it's crazy now because a lot of the shit involves a lot of our musicians right now and a lot of our artists and a lot of our young cats and motherfuckers dying and, you know, niggas dying left and right behind, you know, getting killed or jacked or it's real vicious right now for the industry, you know.
Yeah, it's real vicious, man. And, you know, artists really starting to imitate life, man. And, you know, today we were supposed to have Big Lurch on the show. He was supposed to call in. For those that don't know, Big Lurch is Antron Singleton, who when he was on PCP, he killed his roommate, a young lady, her name was Tynesha Yassis, because he thought she had the devil inside her. He was on PCP.
And then it was on that Sherm.
Yeah, you know that Sherm been running through the hood for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but apparently, man, you know,
nigga was on that water, man. Nigga was floating.
He was on that water, dog, and he never became a big mainstream rapper, but he had a few.
He had a local following, you know. He came from the cosmic
Slop Shop.
Yeah.
Did you know him?
I knew of Big Lurch. You know, he came out around the time I think I had maybe my second, going on my third album. I mean, he was one of those artists around the time, you know, one of the, you know, when you was getting the convicts and you was getting a lot of those, you know, offsprings, you was getting the offsprings, you know, he was one of those. came from the horrorcore. You know, if y'all familiar with that, you know, the artists, you know, there's a lot of artists. I think Esham was on that too. Yeah, a lot of those was on the horrorcore. So he was one of the original horrorcore rappers. Yeah, that's my dude, Brother Lynch. I did an album with Brother Lynch. Shout out my nigga, Brother Lynch. So yeah, they was on that horrorcore movement, you know, a different form of hip hop, you know, when they spoke of, you know, Jeffrey Dahmer and Freddy Krueger and Freddy type of shit.
It was like taking the serial killer rap to a whole different
exactly thing. Exactly
in the descriptions of violence, you know what I mean?
And that right there is vicious in itself because when you're smoking PCP. And your fucking, you know, yo, Gideon is fucking rapping about horrorcore and killing and eating motherfuckers. That's like a bad mix already and shit. You already write down shit about, you know, eating a motherfucker's brain and then you go hit a motherfucking wet stick. Nigga, your reality is finna just become too vicious.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing, because he rapped about all this shit.
That's
right?
What I'm saying.
And we go eventually get him to call in. You know, when a motherfucker locked up, ain't no telling what they're going through to get to the phone. They might be on lockdown.
Can you imagine a motherfucker writing raps about, you know, cannibalism, and then he goes somewhere and hit a wet stick and just think all his thoughts already of all this shit he's writing? So the mix of the PCP with his thoughts of all that shit already, it probably just fucked him off.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so this is what happened, man. You know, on 2002, around April 19th, he was with his roommates just hanging out, right? He was with his roommate hanging out and some other people. He smoked a wet, which he said he smoked because he was in a car accident, I guess. And he said the PCP helped him with his pain. That's new on me. I had never heard that before.
A lot of people go that route. Not, you know, saying that they do PCP, but a lot of people do alternatives when, you know, when they accidents or, you know, the doctor get to prescribe and shit and it don't work. I mean, because that's what he said. They tried to give me some shit, but it wasn't enough.
It wasn't enough. So he started smoking that Sherm. So he chilling, man. They started smoking, getting wet, I guess, and everything. And he told everybody to leave the house, except for the 21-year-old Tanisha Yasses.
He got to hallucinating,
and
probably.
She was his roommate's girlfriend,
yeah,
right?
He probably got to. So how you going to tell me to leave but not my broad?
And that's what I don't understand.
So how you leave your girl? Was he there? Because I don't. Maybe he wasn't there. Maybe he was at work or something.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask him when we talked to him, right? But apparently, they sitting in there, man, whatever, and he thought the devil was inside her. So he attacked the girl and literally, you know, stabbed her and ate her.
Yeah, so he cut her, you know, he did some vicious shit. And we ain't gonna speak on it, you know, even though it happened a long time ago, we ain't going to go in the description of what he did for, you know, the sake of the family, you know, might be still around or whatever.
Yeah, that would be horrible.
So, yeah, but it was some horrific shit done to the young lady. And like I said, just being off that wet just in itself is fuck you up. I mean, I've witnessed the shit personally from people, you know, from the neighborhood and, you know, that shit fuck you up.
You know, and that has to be a nightmare for her.
People, yeah, I done seen niggas in them, like they said, they caught his ass running down the street, asshole naked.
Running down the street naked.
Nigga, I done seen niggas in the street, nigga, running in circles, nigga, asshole naked, full speed off that shit.
Hey, you know the crazy part about it, though, man? He just took this shit to a level, man, like there was he ripped the girl's chest open and ate one of her lungs.
That's what I'm saying. We're not gonna get too scared. You are describing this nigga still. It's crazy.
It's crazy to me. And I was, you know,
damn.
Actually, you know, I was really conflicted about doing the actual interview.
Yeah, man, because I mean, we don't want to, you know, like I said, for the sake of the young lady. We don't want to, you know.
And her people that's still here, that's still
exactly,
that shit,
you know. We don't want to glorify the situation of what happened. You know, we's just, you know, still, you know, you want to get the inside and talk to him and get his side of the story. But still, at the end of the day, when you fucking around with shit that will put you in a state of mind that'll have you believe in shit. Like I said, we don't know what he went through.
And you already obviously got that shit in your subconscious because that's all you rap about.
That's what I said. I mean, to already have the train of thought to be able to write, you know, those certain lyrics. And like I said, we watch horror movies. You watch horror movies, I watch them. I mean, we all watch a good motherfucking Friday the 13th or a scary Halloween or some shit. But I don't know, it's just a different level when, you know, that's your musical preference, you know, to rap about just, and not saying like, you know, we niggas from the streets. And so there have been a couple of raps that have been descriptive about, you know, maybe a couple of drive-bys and a homie got shot and killed and whatever. But to indulge in motherfucking, you know, I did this and then I slit your throat and then I chopped your neck off and then, you know, just crazy, just abnormal shit is the train of thought in there.
Like you said, you know, Brother Lynch ain't really out there killing babies.
No,
he's not really doing.
And then Brother Lynch has he's not all about, you know, he's had a couple of songs, but shit, the project we did, there was none of that motherfucking.
Well, Brother Lynch is one of our coolest rappers from the West.
Yeah, you know, he still represents the block, too. So even though he have a few of those, you know, in-depth tales and descriptive about he'll, you know, chop up the bloody meat and whatever, you know, he still was representing the street, so he was able to curve it a little bit. As far as just being just a...
Yeah, we got to get Lynch to come and sit down on this motherfucker, dog.
Yeah, I have to holler at him, see what's up.
Yeah, we got to holler at Lynch, because I think he live down this way now.
Yeah, he out this way, so it's simple.
We got to definitely fuck with Lynch. But, you know, in the horrorcore days, man, it was one nigga I listened to, because he was just entertaining as hell. He talked a bunch of crazy shit. That was Gangsta Nip.
Gangsta Nip was hard. Gangsta Nip came from down south.
Yeah, Gangsta Nip was hard.
He was on the Rap-A-Lot camp.
Yeah, Gangsta Nip was hard as a motherfucker, but he would say some crazy shit like I feel like swimming in rat piss or some shit like that.
Yeah, Gangsta Nip was cold. Like I said, but if you was into that, I wasn't really into it, but I would listen because they had a large following, man. Horrorcore had a large following, man. So, you know, shout out to all the horrorcore rapper, man. You know, dudes out there, man, still trying to get it in.
Hell yeah, and they took that shit to a whole nother level, Vividly and shit. You know that nigga Nip, Marriage, Me and Your Mama Getting Married Soon After I Fuck Her, I'ma Kill Her at the Honeymoon.
Yeah, that nigga Nip was a damn fool. That nigga was a fool.
But ain't nobody took this shit further than Big Lurks, though, dog. So I can't wait, you know, I can't wait till we,
Yeah, that was that. That
a glimpse in this motherfucker's mind, dog.
I mean, yes, you know. I mean, I'm pretty sure, you know, he's had a long time to reflect on it, and you know, and once again, you know, we just want to send our condolences out to the young lady, you know, and her family, and not to be trying to, you know, promote what happened, but you know, it's just something, you know, as far as what we deal with, as far as being, you know, regular people, there's a side that people, you know, that they want to know.
That's the hardest part about this job, though. Hey, and I don't think the fans understand it because, see, all the people listening to this podcast, man, the couple million people that listen to this podcast, dog, they want to be entertained, right?
Right.
So they don't know half the time we interviewing some of these people having conversations with them. In our mind, we may be like, this motherfucker's a piece of shit right here.
Yeah, but sometimes, I mean? that's what happens, though, when, like you said, with doing the show, you know, you have to go to certain aspects to where you might not even like it yourself, but it's what the people want to hear. It's what they tune in for. And like you said, they want to be entertained, but they also want to be informed. So that's what we try to do.
Exactly, man. You know, we going to make that interview happen, man, one day. But it's kind of hard to be subjective and shit like that, dog, without feeling, because me and you both got daughters, we both got kids, man. If a motherfucker did something like that to one of my kids, I don't think he'd have made it to the jail.
Yeah. You got to watch.
It wouldn't have been no quick shit either. You know what I mean?
Just, you know, I mean, it's hard to stay in tune and in depth and keep ties on your people, but, you know, try to keep ties on your people, man. You know, see where they at, ask where they at, hit them up, call them up, make sure they straight, they safe, they good, you know.
Yeah, and you know, one thing about it, though, man, this is the one disclaimer I want to put out there, dog, for shit. In this era today, man, people seem like they can go online and they have like the internet protects them or something. They can say whatever they want to. Eventually, you're going to have to come on the streets, right? I just found out, man, that Charleston White got pulled over by the FBI.
Mm.
You know, but again, this happens after he threatened a bunch of Asian people.
Right.
You know, and it seems like as black people, man, we just way more accepting the bullshit, dog. A motherfucker can say whatever they want to do to us, and nobody's going to come to our rescue. Like, they didn't have no issue with it when he said he was going to do something to math off his daughter, he was going to kill T.I.'s son or whatever. It wasn't no issue. It wasn't no issue. But the moment he said this stuff about the Asian people, now the FBI is involved and all kind of other shit, they go to canceling shows. This is just like, man, we have just been marginalized as a people to the point to where we almost don't even fucking matter no more. Motherfuckers can do or say whatever. And we do each other so bad, why the fuck should somebody else respect us?
And that's why, because we don't give each other that respect. And so it's not as important. If it's not as important to us, then why should it be to somebody else? I mean, if it's not as important for you to say that, you know, or think of some shit like, oh, I'm going to kill your kids or some shit like that. I mean, don't fuck around and say that to no motherfucker. You get me? Outside of your race, you ain't going to do that. Because a person going to call the police on you, and then you're going to be in jail for death threats.
You know what? I'm going to tell you.
But
what?
I guess on our aspect, we always feel like when you have that street mentality, yeah, come on. I like to see, because I'm not gonna go call the feds. I'm not gonna go call the police. I'm not gonna. We as a black man or woman or people, our mentality from the street is, I wish you would. Try it. I ain't gotta call no police. I ain't gotta call no motherfucking whatever, whatever. I want you to try to come kill my kids and see what. So that's the intake of what the outside people look at. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, we ain't got to worry about it because they ain't going to even call us.
They not going to do nothing. But check this out. That's the problem, though, eh? Because I'm going to tell you this. Ain't nobody going to put a hand on Charleston White. You know why? Because he's already told everybody, I can say what the fuck I want to. And if you come at me talking that bullshit, I'm going to either shoot the shit out your ass or you're going to get locked up, because I'm putting a restraining order on your punk ass. And if you come over here with that bullshit, I'm going to shoot the shit out your ass. So everybody's kind of like, oh, he's going to call the police, because we've said that. See, what the problem is with black people, we've put the code of the gangster and the underworld onto regular people, regular civilian people. Like, I don't belong in no motherfucking gang. Never have. So technically, what you're supposed to do, if a motherfucker is threatening you, you are supposed to make a report with the police department or whatever. In case you got to smoke this motherfucker, you want to have some documentation. Because as you know, in California, you just can't shoot a motherfucker.
Yeah, but that's
like Texas or the South or the
No, but that's what they're going to do. They're going to go call the police. You come threatening them, they're going to go call the police.
Yeah.
You go acting like you finna do something to somebody else, they gonna call the police and take a report and whatever. I ain't gonna go call the police. I'm gonna shoot your ass myself.
You know, you gonna shoot yourself, you gonna shoot him yourself, and you gonna probably wind up doing some time, because they gonna say, well, why did you shoot this man? He threatened me. Well, why didn't you make a report? How come we didn't know about
it? That ain't the code. That ain't the street code. That ain't the nigga code. That ain't the hood code. I ain't making no motherfucker report.
See, we living some old archaic shit, because I'm going to tell you about an incident that happened to me, right? And this going to sound like I'm being petty as a motherfucker. One day, I go to this donut shop. Now, keep in mind, I've been going to this donut shop since about 18 years, right? ain't never paid too much attention to people. I go in that motherfucker, get what I want, I bail. I go in there one day and I ask the girl, hey, can you put this in the microwave for a few seconds? She tells me, no, this is not a restaurant. You want your donuts cooked, you got to take them.
She's so
woman, I'm like, are you for real right now? Because I'm one of your customers. She say, either you buy or you get the fuck out.
Yeah.
She tell me just like that, So I'm mad than a motherfucker. I'm mad, eh? I say, fuck your donuts, and I leave, right? And I tell my kids, if any one of y'all go up to that motherfucker, again, y'all might as well change y'all last name. I'm not fucking with y'all no more, right? So my daughter says, Dad,
you tripping.
You know, you probably went in there with an attitude. Mm-hmm. She usually cool. My daughter goes in there. She in there for about 10 minutes, and I'm wondering, what the fuck is she doing? She come back out mad than the motherfucker. She said, now your dad sent you in to fight me.
Yeah.
You get out too.
Yeah. I know what's up.
But you know what the problem is, eh? As black people, until it happened to us, we don't give a fuck. If you go to a store and get mistreated, if you went to a McDonald's down the road and they told you, get your black ass out of here, and you went online and said, look, this McDonald's that's in motherfucking East Hollywood, North Hollywood, or whatever like mm-hmm. that is racist. You know what a nigga gonna say when he hungry? Man, shit ain't got nothing to do with me. I'm gonna still mob up in there. We don't support shit. We spend more money in this country than any other fucking people. Black America spends more cash.
Yeah, cause we like, you know, we like us some shit.
Yeah,
that's why
we do. So we don't give a fuck about boycotting shit. If a motherfucker said Popeye's racist as a motherfucker, you gonna have you gonna probably have a few thousand people to say we not fucking with Popeye's no more.
Yeah, but you gonna have niggas fuck you. Fuck nigga, that Popeye's about, good as a motherfucker. I'm finna go get me some right now.
It's the same thing as the movie. Remember, what was the shit? Do the Right Thing back in the day? Sal's Pizza.
Yeah, I didn't watch that.
Yeah, so they had a thing in the movie, a fictional pizzeria called Sal's Pizza. One of his sons got mad and called a motherfucker a nigga, right?
Mm-hmm.
They went back, we boycotting Sal's Pizza. He called the homie a nigga. Man, you tripping. I grew up off of Sal's,
yeah,
man.
I'm gonna give me a slice of that. About, yeah.
I'm gonna go get me a slice right fucking now. Because as black people, we don't value ourselves, man. You got motherfuckers, I think, man, since I've been working on the internet, man, I've received more threats from motherfuckers I don't know from a can of paint. Any other time, you just open up your inbox. Fuck you, Norm.
Yeah.
I'm going to bust your head open, and you looking at this motherfucker like, little boy, you don't know you about to get your feelings hurt in this motherfucker. You come up on me.
I try not to pay attention to shit like that because you'll never see. I mean, you never know. You get me? Now, you can't push nothing past a motherfucker because, you know, you never know. It could be a nigga standing right outside the store who said that shit and whatever. So I never put nothing past people, but I never try to indulge with motherfuckers who just woke up today with fuck you on their brain. I don't know what it is. You get me? What I say to shit like that is, hey, you woke up this morning thinking about me, so I did something right.
Yeah, exactly. And them the same motherfuckers, dog, that feel like they can say whatever. Like you said, you don't know if it's the motherfucker that's the janitor in your building. You don't know if it's a motherfucker that's a neighbor of yours. Or it's just a random motherfucker that you don't know, right? That could be just really just checking you out and really have an issue with you about something you've said or done online, right? And I consider myself to be a real subjective motherfucker. I don't have no personal opinion about none of this shit we talking about.
Well, that'd be a lot of people most of the time. Most of the time, it just be people that don't like where you coming from. And they'll just feel like going on, fuck you. Fuck you, Norm. You don't know a motherfucker from a can of paint. But
what people do need to know is that we are very much real people. I just got my concealed carry permit. So please believe I will defend myself to the letter of the law. I'm not going to go out and break the law, but I will defend myself to the letter of the law.
And I don't even think like that no more because I used to, carry a strap, roll around, because I would always just be like ready for whatever. But I don't go around anymore with the aspect of, like, yeah, nigga, come on with it, because I'm already heated and it's going to go down. Go about your business is the way I think.
It ain't even about that, though. Because some, you know, I don't think that way. Like, yeah, I don't want to shoot no
But like I said, I don't like that the fact that motherfucker got to feel like, oh, yeah, nigga, you know what I'm saying? You just better know, nigga, I'm heated. And if you come around, you going to catch some slugs. Nigga, what's your problem with me? You feel me? Mm-hmm. Like, why am I even addressing that? Because, exactly, nigga, I'm too old to be thinking like, I got to worry about a nigga that I know nothing about waiting in the trenches to attack me. For what?
And you know, especially,
you better go on about your business, man.
You know, during the whole time we've been in this show,
man, I'm finna go home to my woman and my kids and chill out, eat me some dinner, and smoke me some weed and figure out how to try to make the next buck. Why am I finna be worried about some nigga talking about fuck you and, man, if I ever see you, man, you ain't gonna never see me. Because I ain't finna be nowhere you gonna be.
None of the places you go be.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I think.
And I think I've always been pretty forthright in the fact that I don't belong to a gang. I don't have nothing to do with no gangs. I got a bunch of friends that's Crips.
I used to gang bang to the fullest and thought, you know, and everything was about the hood. And still respect, you know, the homies that's still there and in the trenches. And I still respect everybody who represented the neighborhood and whatever. But I don't live like I'm still walking around the block every day. You get me? I'm an older dude with grown kids, you know, who live in their life, and kid finna go to college, and I done made it far enough to where, you know, I got respect for any motherfucker who got respect for me, and that gang shit, I know it's Bloods out there, I know it's Crips, it's Asian gangs, it's Mexicans, it's everything. I ain't got beef with none one of you.
Yeah, I just think that it's gonna be a
to each his own. Because
this shit go change though. Hey, I'm gonna tell you why. Somebody is gonna wind up really getting fucking hurt behind this internet shit. I'm telling you, it hasn't happened yet on a major scale, but somebody is gonna get hurt behind all this shit, dog. Because you just got an era to where motherfuckers think this shit is not real or something, dog.
No, it's just. It just gives motherfuckers more in-depth access to irritate a motherfucker. You just got to learn how to shake that shit. Because like I said, it'll be a nigga talking shit to you from Africa. You get me? It'd be a nigga talking shit to you from motherfucking the moon. You don't know. Niggas hide behind that shit. That's why you can't take it seriously. But you can't sleep either. Because there's some crazy motherfuckers out here. You see it all day. Niggas walking in the club, shooting up motherfuckers. Mm-hmm. Niggas, you know, shooting at each other on the freeway. You still got neighborhood beefs and rappers from their neighborhoods, and they still going at it. It's never going to go away. You just got to learn how to motherfucking accept where you at and try to be cordial with motherfuckers, even if they from the other side. Or a different race or color or whatever.
Yeah, shit you supposed to be doing as a man anyway. You supposed to just motherfucking respect.
We all go through mistakes as youngsters. You get me?
Youngsters, like, you think about it. You and the shit were quick back in the day, right?
We all go through shit as youngsters.
Like, it was serious as a motherfucker at the time, but
that was hood shit. It was hood shit, man.
But and now when you're friends, how often do y'all talk and laugh about
every this time shit? We see each other, it's, you know, everybody. Him, High C, you know, KK, D, all anybody, man. I ain't got no beef with nan nigga. That's what I say. I went through that transition of gang banging and knowing what it had to be to represent the hood, and you do for the hood. Fuck it. And that nigga, if you gotta lose your life, if you gotta do this, that's what you do because you represent the hood. But as you get mature, man, shit's supposed to change. You get me? Shit's supposed to change, man. Just like when, you know, you go to prison, you go do 15, 20 years, you're supposed to come home and be changed. You get me? You ain't supposed to be 50, 60 years old still talking about, nigga, this is so-and-so and so-and-so, and then jumping in the car with the little homies going to pull drive-bys and shit like that. You ain't supposed to be, you know, you might still got the hustle down, you know, whatever, but you're supposed to set a different example for the youngsters and show them, yeah, you know, even though I've been lifelong, I still made the transition to know I ain't finna go grab no motherfucking AK tonight and jump in the car with y'all and go shoot up the niggas around the corner. You know, I'm probably cool with some of the niggas you niggas hate. You feel me? You just got to learn the transition. And that's what a lot of us hopefully can do coming from, you know, that part of life.
Yeah, for sure, man. Yeah. Everybody takes shit so literal. Like, even with the name of our show, The Gangsta Chronicles, you know, people thought that The Gangsta Chronicles is supposed to just chronicle the tales of the Crips, Bloods, and motherfuckers in prison. No, The Gangsta Chronicles is about anything that's outside of the parameters of normal society.
Right.
We chronicle stories.
We chronicle, you know, niggas who feel like they OG. And, you know, and when you hear gangster, you know, like you said, niggas going on, you know, like, you know, I represented the hood or the situation before where niggas represented the hoods on the show or whatever. It's not about that. It's about coming from that aspect and being able to speak and talk and chronicle shit to y'all as intelligent niggas from the hood who were once gangsters and who can still be intelligent enough to speak to motherfuckers and have decent conversations and deal with what's going on in today. Not just what I did 15 years ago or what I did 30 years ago. And, you know, 20 years ago, nigga, I used to be on the block and we used to shoot at these niggas and I used to sell this. No. It's about trying to show the transition of where niggas have came from to where we're going and to try to entertain y'all with stories and what we have learned and what we see today and just our opinion about shit. You feel me? Yeah. That's what it is.
And we got more shit coming. We got new merch coming, so y'all be on the lookout about that. We about to relaunch the Gangsta Chronicles podcast website, man. We got a fucking our own fucking TV network right now. So episodes of the Gangsta Chronicles, the full episodes will be available on Rhyme TV and all that stuff, man. And don't forget, man, leave a comment, man. Rate this shit, man. Hit the fucking bell if you're watching this shit on YouTube. And you know what, eight? I think it's about time, man. All good things must come to an end.
Yeah, we out of here.
Peace.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears, real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, cultural enrichment, and all-inclusive fares. Discover more at Viking.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.